This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
I think we need some just absolute rage music after what we witnessed over the weekend with the Wyoming Cowboys. Joining me now, he's our Cowboys insider, Cody Tucker of 7220sports.com. Cody, my man, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm trying to forget about football for a minute. I'm watching some Maury and just living it up.
What's going on at Maury, man? Give me something juicy.
The last guy was not the father, and he did a cartwheel, and I've never done a cartwheel, but I think I would do a cartwheel in that instance myself.
Sometimes you got to just distract yourself, man. That's what you have to do. And again, this wasn't just a loss. I think, Cody, you kind of thought maybe that was coming with this game against Illinois over the weekend, but 40 passing yards, dude. I mean, that was a rough go.
Oh, actually, let me fix that stat for you. It was actually 5 of 20 for 30 yards and an interception. And thankfully, Illinois secondary can't catch a ball, or it would have been at least 3 picks. So it was a really rough debut for Andrew Peasley, and one that's very forgettable. But they just never got him in a rhythm. And to be honest with you, after rewatching the game, the wide receivers didn't get open. When they did, they dropped the ball. And he had some misfires. I mean, it was just a really... really bad outing. And Craig Bowl will be the first to tell you, Illinois's got some pretty good defensive backs as well. And he actually compared those to the D-backs he used to coach at Nebraska in the early 90s. So some high praise from Craig Bowl there for sure.
Well, like you said, Andrew Peasley, it was rough. But there was a lot of weird things in this game, Cody, like with Craig Bowl. And I know you outlined these specifically. When was the... They went for it on fourth down. Before that, they didn't go for it on fourth in the midfield. They punted. And then the next series, when they go for it on fourth down, they rush to the line for this quarterback sneak. It seemed like that was a mile away. Like, that was going to be the world's longest sneak. I was scratching my head at that one.
Yeah, and when you got a guy like Titus Swinn in the backfield who always falls forward at least for a yard, I don't know what you do. Not to mention, this is a team that huddles up before every play. So when you rush to the line, what do you think they're going to do? So not really the element of surprise there, but I thought the huge turning point in this game, you know, the Cowboys, Illinois scored on the second offensive play of the game, really started just taking it to the Cowboys. They shot themselves in the foot a few times, or else this thing could have been 14-21-0 early. And here are the Cowboys knocking on the door at the 8-yard line. They got a third and goal, and they run short side into a loaded box on third and goal from the 8 and settled for a field goal. And I don't know if they thought, hey, we'll be back in the red zone later. we'll figure it out later. I have no idea what that play call was. And I thought, man, the Cowboys could really be tied at 7 here after the complete disaster that just ensued over the first 10 minutes of this game. And they settled for the field goal, and they got one more field goal on the day, and that's about it.
Yeah, and so, again, you look at the score, it's 38-6. But, and listen, I'm not saying that if all those decisions aren't made, if they're made the opposite way or whatever, maybe they don't get it anyway if they throw it. Maybe they do huddle and they run it and they don't get the first down. Maybe they don't punt it instead. Whatever, all those things could have been the opposite. But still, Cody, it did seem like Craig Bowl, like the game call was a lot of head-scratchers in this one and a lot of obvious head-scratchers.
Yeah, it was. They had a lot of third and shorts. And what really killed them at the end of the day, Brady, 1 for 12 on third down.
Oh, my goodness.
And probably 6 of those third down attempts were within 3 or 4 yards. And they picked up their first third down on the last drive of the game, and then they fumbled it away 2 plays later. So, I mean, it was just that kind of day all the way around. And believe it or not, for what a nightmare it really was all the way around, Illinois is not 32 points better than the Cowboys. And that's a very young team that had – you know, the Cowboys had 9 guys making their first career start. They had 19 guys on the field who were wearing a Wyoming jersey for the first time in their careers. A lot of new, and they played like it at points. But, you know, if you're going to look at some bright spots, I thought the offensive line was absolutely incredible. Cowboys rushed for 182 yards against a really big veteran front. And the Cowboys had 3 new starters on that line, and they really controlled the line of scrimmage. And believe it or not, for a Craig Bowl team, I thought they got away from the running game too early. So those guys played really well, and then a lot of youngsters on defense that played well. You know, Wyatt Eckler, the guy from your neck of the woods, he played really well, and he was dealing with cramps all day long. And That was his first start. So I thought there were some guys that played really well. I know the sky is falling here. Don't get me wrong. Believe me, it is falling. It has fallen here in Wyoming. But I think this team is better than they showed. And I think, you know, they're just young. And I know people are tired of excuses. But I think they're going to be much improved this week against Tulsa.
Yeah, so and now you got to turn the page. How's everybody feeling? Again, Titus Swain, you know, every time he carries the ball, you expect something big to happen. But you're also holding your breath because if he goes down, scary times, more sky is falling.
Oh, yeah, and he went down twice in Illinois. Definitely, that definitely stopped the heart for sure. But he has some bruised ribs. He was cleared, but you know how bruised ribs go. I mean, it hurts to breathe, let alone get smashed into people. So I think Titus will play. You know, obviously some more terrible injury news for the Cowboys. Sebastian Harsh is lost for the season. So he's a defensive end that they were really relying on. So he's gone for the year, and then DeWine McNeely, the other running back, he might be able to go this week, but it sounds to me like he'll miss his second straight game to start the year. So Cowboys have dealt with youth, and they've dealt with a ton of injuries. So it's just been a perfect storm to go into Big Ten country and win that game would have been pretty miraculous, honestly. But like I said, I don't think they're 32 points worse than that team. And, of course, Illinois is not, you know, one of the better teams in the Big Ten, but I think they could be. But the Cowboys were not that bad. They just made some really young, stupid decisions. And when you convert one of 12 third downs, you're not going to beat anybody.
Yeah, no, and I agree. I look at that score and just watching the game, it didn't necessarily feel like a 38-6 game until you're more, you know, the fourth quarter, obviously things get a little out of control, but it did feel like a Wyoming kind of game where they could just keep it low scoring, kind of control it there. And again, those three big points that you brought up, when they're in the red zone, choosing to run it at third and eight, going fourth and whatever, when they decided to punt it on the midfield and then go for it with the thing. Those three things right there, if again, you can go back to those. If they get one of those right, maybe it's a, I'm not saying it's a win, but the score looks a lot different.
Definitely. And I thought they came out of the locker room after half and they had a good game plan to try and get Andrew Peasley in a little bit of a rhythm. He had two short throws in a row, completed both of them. They moved right down the field, kicked a field goal. Then they start moving down the field again, and that's when they go for it on fourth, and they don't get it. And then they move down the field again, only for him to throw up a complete lame duck that was completely underthrown and picked off by Devin Witherspoon. That was a killer, but Cowboys were in it that whole time. I know that score looks hideous at the end, but like you said, there was a lot of garbage points in that game. And, you know, you don't want to take a lot away from Illinois. They're a pretty good ball club, man. And Chase Brown, their running back, is special. He's very quick, and he had 100 yards before halftime, and you know, I haven't looked it up yet, but then maybe I should have if I was a good reporter. I can't remember the last time a running back had 100 yards against the Cowboys in the first half of a football game.
Okay, for what it's worth, I think you're a fantastic reporter. You're unique, too. I mean, not many reporters pop on and say, hey, hold on, let me pause Maury for a second, man. That's what makes you great. That's seriously, you hang on to that and you never let that go. All right, looking at Tulsa. We're turning the page. We're looking at Tulsa here. What do we got to see here? I mean, are we quarterback situation? I mean, I'm guessing we're not going to change anything there, right?
No, Andrew Peasley's got the start for sure. What people are mostly shocked about here is Jaden Clemens, a redshirt sophomore who walked on at Utah at a high school, and Kyle Whittingham turned him into a safety. He decided, you know, I am a quarterback. He threw for 5,000 yards in his high school career, went to a couple state title games. He actually has moved his way all the way up to the number two spot for the Cowboys. So, really cool story with him. But, you know, then again, you hope you don't see him in this game. But, you know, the Cowboys, I think, can establish the run here against Tulsa. Tulsa's got their strength seems to be in their secondary a little bit, which is not good news for the Cowboys passing game, but it should be pretty good news for Titus Swain. And I think they took away how good that offensive line played in Illinois, and I think they're going to really double down on that, and they're really going to run the ball right at Tulsa. They definitely expect a physical game. But the one other thing about that offensive line, Brady, if they played on natural grass at Illinois, Andrew Peasley wouldn't have had one grass stain, wouldn't even have had to wash his uniform this week. That's how dominant that offensive line was. They did not even let him get hit one time. He never touched the ground one time. So really good pockets around him. He had all kinds of time. But that just shows you nobody was getting open. And I asked Craig Bull yesterday, do you have to talk to your OC and start getting more creative? I mean, of course, that's a rhetorical question. Yes, they have to get more creative. They have to do some rubber outs. They have to do something to get open because they just were not getting open against Illinois. And I guess we'll see really how good Illinois' defensive backs were if the Cowboys receivers can get open this week against the lesser Tulsa team.
It's interesting because a lot of times you hear the opposite, right? You hear, you know, offensive line shaky on this side or whatever. In college football, we hear it's, you know, we talk about it a lot, but you just think, man, if you can have a brick wall of an offensive line, at some point something's going to give.
Yeah, and they were really good in pass pro and really good in the running game. And usually one of them, you know, usually lines, in my experience, have been deficient in one of those areas, especially in 0 week.
Yeah.
And these guys were really good. Emmanuel Pregnon, a kid, redshirt freshman out of Thomas Jefferson there in Denver, he was so impressive on Saturday. Every time Titus Wynn got a hole, he ran behind Pregnon. And it was just really impressive. And I talked to him yesterday. He's a great kid. And he is just, confidence is beaming out of that kid. So look for the Cowboys definitely to run off right tackle and right guard plenty on Saturday against Tulsa behind him.
Well, let's see if the Cowboys can bounce back. Cody, what are you working on for us, man, that we can check out at 7220sports.com?
Well, I'm working to see if I should actually place a bet. I believe CSU's 30-point dogs at Ann Arbor.
It's up to 31.5 now. What do you think of that? Are you taking that?
I'm taking CSU
on the points,
no doubt.
Okay, so we just heard a Wyoming insider say they're taking CSU. I am betting right now. How do I get my DraftKings thing? I've been thinking about it. You just sent me over the moon, man. I think I might do it too.
I mean, you got to. Jim Harbaugh hasn't even decided on a quarterback. I mean, that's a joke.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you this because we had our friend Mr. Brohard on earlier, and of course he works at CSU. I get it. I think it's disrespectful as hell for Harbaugh to be like, hey, we're going to throw this guy out this week and then this guy out of Hawaii next week. I just think it's another arrogant move by Harbaugh. Where do you come out on this?
It reeks of Ann Arbor arrogance, doesn't it?
Yes,
and,
it does.
This is coming from a guy who covered Michigan State for 2 years and had to spend plenty of time in Ann Arbor. It's real. It's got a Boulder feel to it. No offense to anybody from Boulder out there.
Angel, do not play that Buffs rejoin again, okay? And I get it. You know, some guys trying to defend Harbaugh are like, well, if he doesn't know who his quarterback is, dude, he knows who his quarterback is. He's trying not to hurt feelings. J.J. McCarthy's going to be his quarterback. I think he's just giving McNamara one more shot. He probably hopes he throws an interception against the Rams the first possession of the game.
I think Jay Norvell's guys are going to be, you know, that's a disciplined coach, and I watch all their hype videos and all that stuff, and he's just a good dude, and
yeah.
I really don't see, I see CSU getting waxed, don't get me wrong, but I don't see them getting just trucked, and I don't see it being a 30-point game.
Yeah, no, I'm leaning that way, man. That's our poll question today. Cody, appreciate you as always. Love your coverage. Don't ever change. Keep watching Maury because you know the football stuff. And enjoy Maury once in a while.
Yep, I am not the father.
I love it, my friend. All right, dude, keep up the great work, and you at least make it was a rough. It was a rough go, but I bet your fans, your readers, enjoy your coverage because you call it out, but you also have fun while you're doing it, man. That's what we're in this industry for.
Yeah, I suppose. I forgot how much I love hearing everybody's opinion every Saturday, so I got baptized in that again for the fourth year in a row.
I saw somebody comment on one of your posts that said Wyoming needs to drop down to the FCS or whatever. Didn't they go to a bowl game last year?
Yeah, these people, you would think Wyoming's never competitive and it's just Little Sisters of the Poor and they practice in a barn or something. I mean, it's just, it's incredible to me.
It's crazy. Like, we forget so easy. They went to a bowl game. I mean, my gosh. And it's like, we need to drop down and play high school football. It's crazy. People get crazy this time of year.
Ask Scott Frost if he would love to go to the famous Idaho Potato Bowl this year.
Hey, I'm going around the gamut with you today. Scott Frost, how much longer is he there?
Oh, he's toast.
Yeah.
And I believe I saw his buyout's October 1st, unless they have a drastic turnaround here or maybe beat Oklahoma, which is not likely.
No.
He's toast.
Yeah.
It's shocked. You know what I keep hearing about him is he does not go after any of these Nebraska kids. Wyoming's really wrecking house in Nebraska as far as recruiting goes. Scott Frost is a local dude from a small town in Nebraska. I'm just stunned that is going away from that model of Nebraska football that was so important to Tom Osborne. I mean, you get away from a lot of Tom Osborne stuff, but probably not that part.
Yeah, no, I agree 100% with you, my
but
man.
Maybe kids don't want to be a Husker anymore, though. I mean, this isn't our Huskers. This isn't our childhood Huskers, that's for sure.
We were just talking about it, how cool it was. Even if you weren't a Nebraska fan, it still kind of, you know, it shed some light. The light on Nebraska still spilled over into the teams that we covered and followed and all of that. And so it was good. And Midwest and all of that, and of course, I think we all deep down want to see Nebraska kind of be okay. I maybe not Boulder fans, but
yeah, you're on your own on that one. I love Waller and their misery.
Well, there we go. Finally, we found something we disagree, except for the Chili Peppers. That's the other thing. There's
two
things.
Well, I live closer to Nebraska, so
that's true. Yeah.
Count me out on the Huskers for life.
Cody, my man, love what you do. Keep up the great work, and we'll catch up soon. Okay.
Thanks, brother. Talk to you soon.
See you, dude. There he is, Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com. I like his style, too, man. He's fun with it. He calls out BS. It's sports at the end of the day. It's fun. We should be having a blast with this. 37 minutes after the hour, and maybe Cowboys fans aren't having so much of a blast today. I'm still probably recovering from that one. Let's jump out real quick, Angel, and get the latest on the local sports flash.